Good morning. It's the 18th of August. Our first reading for today is 1 Kings chapter 13. I'm going to read to you from Brother Stephen Palmer's book, Josiah and His Children. This section considers the man of God. I read, "The name of the man of God who came out of Judah is not recorded. Clearly, it is not relevant. What is important is that he was speaking the word of the Lord." In that chapter, the phrase "word of the Lord" is used 10 times. In the whole of the books of Kings, it is used only 48 times. The prepositions which introduce the phrase also are unusual. The phrase "by the word of the Lord" is used 6 times in this chapter, and only 3 times in the rest of the authorised version. The emphasis could hardly be more powerful. He cried unto the altar in the word of the Lord. His identity is lost in the power of the words he conveyed. Only through that word could acceptable prayer be offered. Jeroboam, unable to offer incense himself, pleads with the man of God, "Entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored me again." And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and became as it was before. This association between the man of God and the word of God is interesting in relation to the only 2 occurrences of the phrase in the New Testament. Both occasions are in Paul's letters to Timothy. As in 1 Kings 13, the first occurrence contrasts the man of God with apostasy. Paul says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things." Those words come from 1 Timothy chapter 6. Paul has earlier identified the motivation for setting up new forms of worship and inventing new doctrines which are not taught in Scripture. At this point you might wish to read verses 3, 4 and 5 of 1 Timothy 6. Here is religion, as Jeroboam would have it, created by men for their own selfish ends, cleverly constructed, as judged by human reasoning, but devoid of the truth, which comes only from the revealed word of God. The man of God represents the very opposite of these things, a person in whom the wholesome words of the Lord are developing a Christ-like character which gives glory to the Father. And of course, this is the purpose God has in revealing his word. Paul goes on to explain to Timothy in his second epistle and chapter 3, "Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works." The man of God in 1 Kings came to an untimely end. Brother Stephen writes this: "The man of God had been deceived by the lie that there had been a new revelation from God, which contradicted the previous revelation he had received. The same thing can happen today. We can be challenged by new erroneous interpretations of Scripture which contradict our faith. We are surrounded by Christians who claim direct revelation from God through the Holy Spirit, yet they still do not accept the simple truths of Scripture or its authority. We must not be beguiled by these things, but we must hold on to the faith once delivered to the saints." Thank you for listening.